Hey Janet, I see you. Wait, no, I don't see you. I don't hear you either.
Danny.
Hi. Only one person here. Okay, I get this. Da, 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 da. I'm
I
here.
can't hear
You can't hear me? You hear me now? Okay, we're recording. I'm gonna share screen. There I go. Okay, we are in. Excuse me a moment, I'm gonna have to pause here because my wife is. Okay, we are back. We're in Shmuel Bet. We're in the story of David running away from his son who's trying to kill him. And last we saw that David had basically done tshuva from the entire experience of Batsheva. He's going to come back, but he's not sure if it's going to work or not. He's despairing. And then Hushai Arki, who's the Re'ah David, his friend, tells him, "No, you can't give up. You've got to keep fighting this. You've got to go back because Bnei Israel need you. Avshalom can't be the king. You have to be the king because you have this legacy to bring it to everyone." And he quotes, well, in the Midrash, he talks about smichut parshiot, and that comes from a pasuk in Tehillim about smuchim divrei Hashem, and basically telling David, "Look, you wrote these Tehillim that talk about how important it is to serve Hashem. You can't give up now." So now I'm going to go back and actually look at that parak of Tehillim that we had quoted. So we're going to go to Tehillim right now, not to the narrative there. So Hishai talks about the shul. Smuchim la'adolam osim b'met v'yishar, that the words of God are smuchim, are reliable, and they connect. The one thing leads to another one. Emet v'yishar. That's the word of God. You can't give up because you are what's going to lead to the next good thing for Bnei Israel. I'm going to look at that. It comes from Tehillim Kuf Yud Aleph. And Kuf Yud Aleph actually is a diptych, meaning it's a two-part work of art. Now, the two parts parallel each other with Perek Yud Bet. I'm going to look at it over here. I'm going to make this smaller though. So you can see it over here. Can you see my sources here? Now we've looked at them before. Anyone remembers, this was about 5 years ago, I looked at these prakim. I go into a little bit more detail, looking at the structure of them. And they're identical structures between Kuf Yud Aleph here, Kuf Yud Aleph, and Kuf Yud Bet. They all start with a Haliyah. I lined them up so you can see that. They're all alphabetical. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zayin, Chet, Tet, Yud, Kaf, Lamed, Mem, Nun, etc. And these are the only two prakim in Tehillim that actually have a perfect acrostic. Lots of acrostics throughout the Tehillim, but they're all missing one letter, missing another letter, whether that was due to, if you're an academic, you'll say that was lost over time, or you say that was intentional, like an ashrei, the nun is missing. Here, these are all perfect. It's all in ABC order. And the sentences are all very simple. Each pasuk is exactly two letters, aleph, bet, gimel, dalet, hey, vav, until the last. Two of them have three, but as of 22 letters, 1, 2, 3, Pei Tzadik Kuf, Resh, Shin Taf. Same thing with Kuf Yud Bet, Aleph Bet, Gimel Dalet, Hey Vav, etc., down to Pei Tzadik Kuf, Resh, Shin Taf. Identical structures, very simple. And more than that, the words are very simple. It's in an iambic tetrameter. So he knows their meter there. The whole thing, which is something we never talk about in Tehillim, because there's no such a meter in Hebrew poetry, biblical poetry. I probably agree with you, but I don't.
At the opening lines of
the Odyssey.
No,
Gilead. Gilead. Okay. Is that in iambic tetrameter?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, in Greek, evidently, the meter is not so much by stress, but as by long and short vowels. That got translated into stressed, but here clearly is stressed. Odeh Hashem b'chol Adah Adonai b'chol levav. It's very, very, very strict the whole time through. Very simple, which is very weird. It's just not a thing. You know, you never talk about meter in biblical poetry, except for these two prakim. Here, it clearly has a, you just read it and go da 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 da. Clearly, you know, it's got a, probably had a really simple tune, basically. You know, like Adon Olam. You could sing it to, it's a small word. It's a small word. Okay. Don't listen to me sing. So this is, you know, so that's one thing that's striking about it is that how incredibly structured these two prakim are and the fact that they are identical. This is where Wade Rav Samet, which is what I took most of this from. He's one of the Rosh Hashiva at and the Gush has a series on Tehillim. This is the way he puts it. Madu efo bachar ha-mishorim, so mizmarim kuf yud alf kuf yud bet. So why did the poet, the psalmist, for these two prakim, choose the tzedrum b'seder alphabeti? Why are they alphabetical? Mavan she'en listapeg, b'tshuva teknit. Now, it's really not enough to use the technical answers. You tell them so b'divrei mefarshim mechadashim, that modern commentators tend to say, yisidazeh nu'ad l'hakel azichirat ba'al peh. That it's alphabetical, it's simple, so you could memorize it easily. He's saying that's not enough to say that. It may be true, but then I say, why these and not other ones? Why do we want these to be memorized? We're not going to deny that having it alphabetical makes it easy to remember these. Rakim. Ulam en kol siba madua davka mizmarim elu. Why these... chapters, and so too with all the other alphabetical Tehillim. Why should this be different? We'll have to look at the context of them to make an argument. Why should David want these particularly to be easy to remember? And the Gemara says that it, being alphabetical is an important thing. That's why we say Ashrei. That's the Gemara in Brachot. Amar Rabbi Lezer, Amar Rabbi Avina, Kolomer, Tila David, B'chol Yom Shlosh Pamim. Everyone who says Tila David, Ashrei, three times. I'm going to have to make this bigger now. I can read it here. Muftach lo shu ben olam haba. You know, this Gemara, you say Ashrei three times a day, you're guaranteed to get your olam haba. And you need to learn the Gemara there to see what that means. I don't think it's a simple thing, read it and you're done. My time, but what is Ashra? What does Tila David have? Ilay Mishum de Ita alphabet. If you can say because it's alphabetical, which tells you that it's important, that's true, but Nema Ashra to me derech, then we should say Tilim Kuf Yute, 119. The Ita Betamne Alphin, because there it has an eightfold alphabetical acrostic. We did that a couple of years ago. Now, if the alphabetical Tehillim are so important, obviously Kuf Yutet is really important because it's got eight alphabets. So we should read that. Itale mishum de it be. No, that yud is not. Ela mishum de it be potechid decha. Maybe it's because it says it has a pasuk of potechid decha and it's the context of it. That this is the Perek Tehillim that tells you that Hashem supports the world. That's why it's important. Nema halagado. Then we should say Halagada, which says no tein lechem b'chol basar. Same, that thought comes elsewhere. No. Now these letters here are footnotes, so you erase that. Ela mishum de it be tarte, but we say because it's got both ideas. One, clearly it's inherently important because it's the alphabetical acrostic, which tells you the author thought it was important because he wanted you to remember it. And because the context of Ashrei has this idea of potech yedecha. So that's the one we're going to pick that we're going to say three times a day. But still, the idea that having an aleph bet order means is important. And that's the way Radaka understands this parak. Komizma shnera, but aleph bet, any parak that has an alphabetical acrostic, nira ki lufi godlo, because it's of its importance, vadarim nechbadim she'nimrimbo, and because of all these significant things that are said in it, nimra bokein, that's why it's there. Again, to Kro Rav Samet, quoting somebody named Shlomo Dav Budyan. Was it was an Israeli professor. Aleph bet nechsha b'nei kamoneinu. What did the Aleph bet mean? In the eyes of the Chazal, it was seen, l'yan mukdash ma'od, something particularly holy. Sheinu kolel kol ha'katav. Because it means it includes all of the, everything that could be written. We have all the letters in there. Shabo nitna Torah. Because the Torah is given with the 22 letters of the Aleph bet, so it has a sense of completion. This is a mizmor that covers everything. The implication of an alphabetical acrostic. And includes every form of knowledge in it. That's what we're supposed to get from seeing it as being an alphabet. It has the idea of shleimut, of completion. It goes from aleph to tav. And again, part of it, I think, is the fact that yes, if it's got an alphabet there, it is easy to remember. It's got a simple structure. We can easily memorize this. And I think that's because it was important. It reads like a children's rhyme. Because everyone was supposed to remember this. These somehow were supposed to be important to Hilliam, which we don't say now, which is striking. The only thing within all these, there are some minhagim that say Kuf Yud Aleph before Maariv Motzei Shabbat. And then the one pasuk from Kuf Yud Aleph that we all learned as little kids, again, it's a little kid's rhyme. It's Reishit Chochma Yirat Hashem, Tzechel Tolecho Osehem, Tila Tomer Lad, the end of Kuf Yud Aleph. That's the little kid tefillah. And I think that's what these are meant as. These are meant as your little kid or your simple person or your, I don't have time to do a whole davening. These are important ideas. I want you to know these. That's why David's reading them. Just look at these two prakim. Let me go back up over here. The two prakim. have two different themes.
Danny, I remember this from last time, and we had the idea of from A to Z, it's like everything.
Yes.
And that's when I showed you the Amazon logo from A to Z, has the arrow under it from A to Z.
I didn't, remember that? Now I see the arrow as a smile.
No.
It actually goes from the A, it doesn't go to the N, it goes from the A to
A to Z.
I will have to look at that.
But you do have Amazon Smile.
We did this already. I'm surprised you don't remember.
Now that you say it, Phil, I do remember. But Danny, I was going to say something else. Uh-huh. There's many Tehillim that are not acrostics that we say a lot and we include in Tefillot that are also important. So, you know, if you just made a survey of somebody who hasn't studied with us about this and said, what's your favorite Tehillim? I don't know how many people would just say Ashrei.
Really? I feel like that's the only one anybody knows. That may be Hallel. But everyone knows, I figure Ashrei is probably the top of the list, don't you think?
But people might not know it's part of Tehillim. Although it does begin, Laman Atzeach LeDavid.
It says, right, that's the only one that says.
Yeah. The ones that I think that are so beautiful, Sinai, you know, is very beautiful. And the one we say, you know, everybody says at funerals, Shifti B'Beit Hashem and all that. I don't know. I wouldn't say that it's my, in content-wise, it is my most favorite song. I like it. I don't have anything against it.
Well, I won't judge relative quality or what was a favorite one. I am going to argue, however, that at least as written, it was intended to be important, that it was intended to be easy to remember.
Okay.
Which to me implies importance.
Okay.
And the truth is we don't use these that way. And we use Ashrei from the Gemara that way. These somehow have fallen into obscurity. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to try to bring them back from obscurity.
Okay.
Feel free to say these every day because I think they're awesome. Especially when you look at this, so nicely structured. These are sonnets, basically. You know, they've got so many lines, such an order. It doesn't have a rhyme scheme, but at least the meter scheme here, they're ordered there. The first one is the praise of Hashem. Odeh Hashem b'chol levav, I will praise Hashem with all my heart. The second one is praise the pian to the tzaddik. And they end up being very parallel. It's the second one is Ashrei Ish Yireat Hashem. Okay? Praise God. Praise the Tzaddik. And the parallels go through it. They have both a common structure. They have common language. If you look at it all through here, you know, look at Pesach Gimel, Tzidka Toa Met La'ad, talking about Hashem. Tzidka Toa Met La'ad, talking about the Tzaddik. Again, very parallel. And we're going to see, that words of Hashem, Shemuchim La'ad L'olam, we quote that. And Samuch Libo Lo Yira, that the Tzaddik is Samach. The Samuch is reliable, the Hashem is reliable throughout all the thing. And then the end of Kuf Yud Aleph, that's talking about Hashem, is the transition into Kuf Yud Bet. And it says, Reshit Chachma Yirat Hashem, wisdom is fear of Hashem, and then Tilato Omed La'ad, and then his praise, which we'll see, probably means the person who is Yirei Hashem, it continues with Asher Ish Yirat Hashem. Right? Hashem is great. Fear of Hashem is great. Let's talk about the one who fears Hashem. One continues into the next one. So we have this parallel between the praise of Hashem, the praise of the Tzaddik. And what's the meaning of that? Scroll down. This is from a lovely little book I have. It's called The Illustrated Family Tehillim by Leah Pearl Schaller, who I don't know who she is, but she's a Chabadnik, quotes a lot of Chabad things. But that's okay. I mean, look at the Pesukim in there, things like Rachum v'tchanun v'tzadik and Kuf Yud Bet. It's ambiguous. Pesuk could be saying that Hashem is compassionate, or it could be talking about that Tzadik is compassionate. Why is it so vague? I think the answer, I've said this before, that ambiguity in Tehillim, in poetry in general, is intentional. We're supposed to see both meanings there. It teaches us that we are imitating Hashem. Hashem is a Chanun, so too we are Chanun. Hashem is Rachum, so too we are. Hashem is Tzadik, so too are we. That these two together have the idea of imitatio Dei. That's what I titled this, of imitating Hashem. That's our job. We're going to look at what Hashem is and Hashem's goodness, and that's our job in here. And the way the Rambam puts it, he says, we are commanded to imitate God as much as possible. Amru, that's what it says. We're supposed to walk in the ways of Hashem. And the same commandment appears elsewhere in Devarim. We're supposed to work in all of Hashem's ways. And Chazal say in Sifri, just like Hashem is merciful, so to you. Compassionate, so too Hashem is compassionate. And as we're talking about Tzidkato Met La'ad, at the end of each parak, we have these very similar themes. Once, by Hashem, it says Kadosh V'Narashma. We'll see that inside. By the Tzaddik, it talks about Karno Tarum, his horn. Both of them talking about how they are seen in the world, with how Hashem is seen in the world, how the Tzaddik is seen in the world. That's what this theme centers on, and is in fame. That we emulate Hashem in order to be an example to others, so that others will emulate us. And that's what the lesson of these parakim are. So let's look at these parakim inside. Well, here is the structure of the parak. This is Samet's insight. We're looking at this parak Kuf Yud Aleph. It's talking about Hashem. It's got two halves. First pasuk is the introduction. I will acknowledge, thank Hashem with all my heart. In two things, in the council of the righteous and in the community. And then the two halves go down, Pasuk Bet, down to Pasuk He is the first half of it, and Pasuk Vav through Pasuk Tet is the second half. We'll start with Maaseh Hashem. The acts of God are great and are sought after by all those who ask for it. And the second half, pasuk vav, koach ma'asav tegid lamo. God has told the power of his ma'asim, of his acts, to give them the inheritance. because they inherit among the nations there. And because where he reads it is that there are two ways of seeing Maaseh Hashem, two kinds of Maaseh Hashem in the world. You see the will of God in the universe through the physical world, and we also see God through the Torah, through the mitzvot. This is from the Pachad Yom Yitzhak. I quote this all the time. I love this. Ratzon Hashem mitgalel lanu b'shtei marachot. That the will of God is revealed to us in two different arenas. Maracha achat b'maseh bereishit. One is creation, the physical world. Olam shenivra ba'asav mararot. He makes a point of the asav mararot, the 10 statements. Hashem created the world. We look at the laws of nature. We look at the world and we think, it must have been created. Somebody must have put this together. Maracha shenia, the second arena, we see the ratzon Hashem. B'mamar ha-Sinai. The Torah that was given, Sinai, but Torah shenitne ba'asara dibrot. It makes this contrast, asara mamarot and asara dibrot. Idi v'idi gili ratzon shel makomim. Both of them are the revelation of the will of God. Chachmat ha-teva, that's science, understanding nature. Hi b'vadei chachmat ha-chukim shel ratzon Hashem. Generally is the wisdom of understanding what Hashem wants. Okay? I fall down and I break my nose because I've been falling at 9.8 meters per second squared. I'm fulfilling the will of God. It's revealed with these through these 10 statements. But the fact is that is mandatory, it's determinant, it's deterministic. I don't have a choice in obeying the laws of nature. It doesn't involve me. I'm subject to it just like a rock. Therefore, as understanding God's will, it's external. Understanding the Torah, as hear chachmat ratzon Hashem, that's the understanding of the will of God. That's given as a matter of free will. We can decide to fulfill God's will through the Torah. We have these two halves. And the two halves of the parak reflect this. The first half, I'm arranging over here, is Bisod Yerusharim, in the council of the upright, the righteous. That applies not just to Jews, but to anyone. I suppose the second half, which is all about Koch Ma'asav Higidla Amo, to his own people, that's the Edah, that's the community, that's the Jewish community. So look at these two different sides of how I'm going to Odeh Hashem, acknowledge Hashem.
What are those two? What is
Besod
Yisharim and the
Eda? Right, Sod means the council, like in Kedusha.
Wait, are they in the Tehillim or you?
Yeah, no, that's the, okay, so this is Pasuk, let's go back to the, let's pull that up on another side here. Sorry, I'm going to pull this up in, I'm going to flip back and forth, Tehillim, Kuf. Good Aleph. You see that?
Not yet.
You see the
Yeah.
So this side is the passage says, hallelujah.
Oh.
I'm thinking that as the introduction.
Oh.
And then the two structures, Bet through Hey, is Maaseh Hashem, is Yerushim B'chol Chepseim. Anyone who wants to see the Maaseh Hashem being the universe side of it. And then Koach Masav Higid La Amo, and this is all about Amo, is the second half, what Hashem gave to his people.
So yeah, five and five, and then what?
We have it's four and four.
Oh.
Yeah, Bet Tru He is the Maaseh Hashem Drushim Chotzeim. Vav Tru Tet is Higid La Amo, and then we have the last two psukim. The end of it is going to be Kadosh Ranar Shemo is going to be the summary. That's why I have it over here. The end of test. So it goes Aleph is through here, and then Bet through Gimel goes down. Bet through Hey goes down, and then Vav through Tet goes down, and then Kadosh Ranar Shemo is the summary, and then Rishi Chachmi Yirat Hashem is a conclusion that transitions to the next.
Yeah.
That's the way we look at the structure over here.
I never realized Reshit Chachma is an
Reish. Is it right? Yep.
Yeah. T I never realized it was the three last
letters. Reshit Chacham Yod Hashem, Sechel Tov L'Kol Osehem, Tila Tov Medlad. That is Resh Sin.
Right. That we used to say that right after Modani.
Right. Well, the kids said it, right? We should say.
I thought this was in.
But I still say.
Good. That's good. You're supposed to. I'm trying to bring this one back.
Yeah. But I didn't know it was an acrostic. Very nice.
I thought that Reshit Chachma was from Proverbs. Is it in there too?
So Mishle has a pasuk of Tchilat. It's a different noun there, not Reshit, but Tchilat Chachma is Yirat Hashem. We'll talk about that, but all the Sifrei Emet, Iyov, Tilim, and Mishle all have a very similar pasuk about Chachma and Yirat Hashem.
Oh, okay.
And they all kind of go together. The contrast being with Kohelet, which is Sof Davar, is Yirat Hashem. Tilim, Mishle, and Yov all have Reshit Chachma Yirat Hashem. They start your shot from there. We'll talk about that. Okay.
Thank you.
This is going back to Rav Samet's an analysis of this. Source 10. Maase Hashem. Maase Hashem. Both sides of it. That they're looking at in the beginning of the first half. It appears that this is talking about Hashem's ma'asim in creation as a whole, in nature. We understand this from the verse that starts in Pasuk Gimel, which is, I have to go back and forth. Hod v'hadar pa'alo. That is Hashem's glory. All his actions are Hod and Hadar. Glory and grandness. What would it go? No, where'd it go? I lost my head. Okay.
Danny, does anybody ever talk about alliteration in all these verses?
Okay, we see a fair amount of alliteration in the Torah. I'm not talking about directly about that.
No, but I'm saying Tfilot also. You have that song. Where every line is alliterated. I'm going to go get my center. Hold on.
Adera Piamuna.
Yes.
That one. Yes. Yeah, Hod v'Hadar is a classic alliteration that goes together. Both of them have the idea of reflecting. Hod is from related to head, which means an echo. Hadar, which means return, is the reflection. Both of those are how we see Hashem reflected in nature. Okay, Shemak Bilah B'Tzela Shabrosh Pasuk Bet of Gedolim Maseh Hashem. And Gedolim Maseh Hashem, those are his Hod v'Hadar. Hod v'Hadar Perisho Yofi Hamorer Rigashe Ha'aratza. That the beauty that
inspires
feelings of desire. We look at it, we think, oh, that's beautiful. That this description of Hashem's great acts, vaden yeches olam hafizi shebara. It's talking about the physical word and the beauty we see in it, and the awe that we're inspired in it. And so this section continues on. Once we've said this about the physical world, it continues on very similar to Ashrei. So it's Gedolim Maaseh Hashem Drushim L'Chol Chafzeihem, that the acts of Hashem are great and they are accessible to everyone who wants them. Right? As opposed to the Torah, which needs to be given. We can observe the universe. We can't observe Torah. That needs to be revealed. And then Hod V'Hadar Pa'alo, that Hashem's glory, Hashem's acts are glorious. V'tzidkato omer la'ad. Hashem's justice lasts forever. What is that justice? The answer is the next pasuk. Zecher asag v'flotav. We remember what Hashem did. We can see what Hashem did. Chanun rachum Hashem. Hashem is chanun. Hashem is merciful. And that's to everyone. Again, this is not talking about the Jews, not talking about Amo yet, this is talking about the entire world. Teref latan l'yirayav. Hashem gives food, support to those who fear him.
So does that mean ultimately that Hashem really wants to reach out to everybody and everybody should accept the Torah in the end?
Well, that's kind of the idea, right? And the question whether it's necessarily the Torah or the Shiva Mitzvah and Noah. There's a certain baseline that we expect everybody to observe.
Okay.
We expect everybody to be a Yireh Elokim.
Right.
Okay, that's throughout the Torah. That's, you know, the phrase Yireh Elokim, in fact, generally applies to non-Jews. Avram says that, right? If you look, I mean, Avram talking to Avimelech, and why did I say about Sarah? Because I was afraid that ain't Yirat Elokim. I'm afraid people aren't Yirat Elokim. Or Yosef, before he reveals himself to his brothers, he's just the Egyptian viceroy. He says that you're et Hashem Elokim and Yireh. I fear Elokim, not Hashem in the personal sense, but there is some sense of divine justice as being the basis for ethics. That makes me a good person. So that this rachamim that Hashem has, it's chanun rachum Hashem, apen in yon dafkli Israel. They do not apply to Israel alone. Sharei, as we see in Ashrei, I think we've taken Ashrei that has a very similar theme to this, and that's the one we're saying every day. But this pack says very similar things. It says tov Hashem lakol. Theme of Ashrei. Hashem is good to everyone. Hashem supports the world. So the next pasuk in this parak, where it says Hashem gives teref food, sustenance to those who fear him, in Dafka Yisrael, again, doesn't just apply to Israel. This says that Hashem grants to all humanity. Hashem mechdiach al b'ritav, melchesed im yirayav, v'titolahem et parnasatam. Hashem pays attention, attends to all of creation, and does chesed with everyone, and specifically to those who are yireh Elokim, which is not just the Jews. We haven't gotten to Amo yet. And this can be done by everyone, that they are...
Danny, that means that if we're supposed to imitate Hashem, that we should also be kind and merciful to everyone.
I think that's a really good idea. I think Phyllis agrees with that. Jan, if that, you haven't been doing that so far?
No, I mean, now. Yes, but I'm just saying, you don't, sometimes you don't, you hear that, you know, the way you treat a Jew is different than you treat a non-Jew. And here it's saying God's merciful to all his creation.
I would agree. Okay, I think, yes, that you can treat your community differently. There's a sense of intimacy there and reciprocation there. But yes, you need to treat everyone chanun rachum. Okay, don't do unto others that which you not have unto you is important. Yeah, let other people live their lives. That's the important thing. And yes, I think that applies to everyone. It has nothing to do with whether you're Jewish or not. I agree completely. And yes, that is the Me'emitat Yudayim. Tov Hashem Elakol Rachamav Alkol Ma'asav. If you get nothing else out of this, then that counts as a good lesson.
Janet, that could be a new lawn sign.
Which one? Tov Hashem Lakol? Rachamav Alkol Ma'asav?
Yeah. And that we have to be.
Shehu Rachum Gamata Rachum.
Lachol Ma'asav.
Lachol Ma'asav. We can do that. I don't like lawn signs.
You don't like lawn signs?
I don't like having opinions or expressing my opinions publicly. What can I do? Mm-hmm. We lost Janet.
Oh. Yeah. She's out there doing chesed.
There you go. She'd rather have to get their lawn sign up. Okay? So that's the first half of Parakof Yud Aleph, and that can be understood by everyone. Ma'aseh Shema Drushim B'chochetzehem. And we can look at the world in that sense of awe. I mean, the connection there is both appreciating that Hashem has given it, and therefore it's our job to maintain it. It's what Rudolf Otto calls the numinous, the sense of awe, looking at the world, the sense of the holy. Rudolf Otto was a Protestant theologian, or Soloveitchik quote. But again, you don't have to be Jewish to get that sense. But the universe itself is what the pasuk says, if Zion, Zecher HaSalon HaFlotav, that is the universe is the record of Hashem's wonders. second half of the parak. Okay, we got the Zechra Sana Fatav. And Zizkor Lo Olam Brito is the end of that section. That the Brit will be remembered forever. We'll have to look at that Brit that we're talking about the physical world. Second half is Koach Ma'asav Higid La'amo. Now we're getting to Amo, the Jewish people. Welcome back, Janet.
Sorry, my Wi-Fi is terrible.
And that also has two components. We have Koach Ma'asav Higid La'amo. Hashem told his people about Ma'asav. We said, so that they could inherit the inheritance of nations. That they get, that Bnei Israel were given the Torah, and so that they can go into Eretz Israel. And Maaseh Adavar Emet U'Mishpat. Hashem's actions are truth and justice. And I would say Maasim here are talking about the Torah, the laws, the things that we're supposed to follow. Now, Manim L'chol P'kudav. Kol Pekudav, all of Hashem's Pekudim, and here we're explicitly saying these are the commandments, are Ne'emanim, they are faithful, they are eternal, they are unchanging.
You translated Pasuk Vav as God being the Higid La'amo, but maybe right. Koach is the subject.
That the Koach Ma'asav tells his people
that he is given. Like the next one,
I don't know. Yeah. That Koach Ma'asav that the power of Hashem's actions told that those that power tells his people that Hashem is giving them the inheritance of nations.
I like that.
The nation. You could read it that way. I don't think it's terribly different in the underlying meaning there.
No.
I would rather have it though as a separate, that Hashem is the subject there.
Okay.
We could do that. Okay, Ne'amanim Kol Pekudav. So Hashem's commandments are all Ne'amanim, are all faithful in the sense of reliable, they are eternal, they are permanent. And as we said, Smuchim La'ad Olam, that's recorded before, that Mishpat, they are reliable forever. They can be relied upon, this is the right thing to do. And we learn, and the Drash says they are Smuchim in the sense that they are connected. We can be Doris Smuchim, one thing leads to another. They're logically connected. The idea of emet is that everything fits together. Even if we don't necessarily see that, that's part of our faith, is that the Torah as a whole is a unit. Asuyim be'emet v'yosher. Again, these laws, these pekudav, are made be'emet, in truth. They all are one unified whole, that they reflect what the universe is. And they are one with the universe. And the Aseret Dibrot and Aseret Mamrot go together. This world was created in order to fulfill the Torah and Yosha, and they are right. Kedush Shalach La'amo. Hashem has sent salvation to his people, parallel to the Latet Lehem Nachalat Goyim, that we will be saved. Tivala Olam Brito. Hashem has commanded the Brit forever, parallel to the first half of Yizkor Olam Brito. This part is Tivala Olam Brito. Because we have two different kinds of brit, two different kinds of covenant. And that's what Semet points out. One is Yizkor Lo Olam Brito, and we're back and forth on this over here. And the other is Tziva, when Hashem creates a remembrance of his brit, and the other is commanded. And this is here, Af Brito Shel Hashem, the brit of Hashem Lo Olam is eternal. And is mentioned in the beginning of the first half. It's not the same brit as the second half. A brit rishana, a brit shekarat Hashem im olamo. The first is the brit that Hashem signed with the universe, with the world, from this week's parsha. Al-Hatmadat Kiyumo, that Hashem will keep the world together, right? That's Brit Noach, that's the Keshet, that Kais V'Choref, Yom V'Layla Lo Yishbotu. The world will continue on, Hashem is not going to destroy the world. That's Brit Noach. Brit Yehusa, Abarur Mofia, Brit Keshet, that the most obvious most obvious form of the Brit that Hashem signed with the world is the Brit Keshet, the rainbow with Noah. Shekarat Hashem im Noah. We know that. That's just for Parsha here. But the Brit Hashniyah, the Brit Shekarat Hashem im Amo. The second Brit is what Hashem signed, joined with Bnei Yisrael. Im Amo Yisrael, Jush in Akarta im Avot Uma. That's with both the Avot of Brit Ben Petarim, Brit Milah, reflected in Brit Sinai. So there's Brit Noach and there's Brit Sinai, the two Britot. And then again, going back to Rav Huttner and the Asar Marot versus the Asar Dibrot. Asar Marot Nivra Olam. The world was created with 10 statements. That's the physical universe. Asar Dibrot Nidna Torah. Torah is given with the Asar Dibrot. It's just a nice parallel that goes throughout his work. In bechlal, in beguf ha-maracha shel aser marot, zecher l'shem inyan shel Torah mitzvot. And the difference is, in the realm of the aser marot, there's no idea of commandment. There's no duty there. There's no choice. There's nothing that you, a person has to do. Shekein an maracha zu oseket ela behitavut olamit. That with that idea of the aser marot, the existence is simply about the existence of the world.
Well, we have to believe that God created the world.
But that's not inherent in the idea of Asar Marot. The idea that's the next case. Science is a thing that even if you don't believe it, it's still true. It doesn't involve you accept that Asar Marot doesn't involve you accepting them. There's no acceptance of Brit Keshet, of Brit Noah.
Okay.
The world exists. I mean, we believe that Hashem has promised it, but that the existence of that does not depend on anyone else accepting that, right? You, even if you didn't believe in God's existence, and I'm telling you it's true, but you don't believe me, you're still subject to the laws of nature.
Okay.
That's now, not true.
It appears to me now that, you know, Brit is a two-party agreement. So what's the two parties in Brit Noah?
That's a good question. So how do we understand Brit Noah as being a two-party agreement? That's a good question that you should look at Parshat Noach and the Mefarshim there. What made that? Why does Hashem describe that as a Brit if it's clearly just a one-sided thing?
Mm.
Okay? Yeah. And I jump ahead. That's what, right. I mean, that's a good question. I don't have a great answer. Okay? And then Rav Putner continues, Kshem Sheyeshne Brit Sinai Al Kiyom Shul Divrei Torah. So we have Brit Sinai, which was two-party, right? Bnei Yisrael had to accept that. Mitzvot have to be accepted. Okay, yesh ne'brit noach. Al kiman shel amarot b'rishit. There's a brit noach. There. Olkem mi'aretz zera katzir kol rachom, kaitz v'korek, lo'im v'layla, lo yishbotu. That's the brit there, but it's not. It wasn't accepted by the universe. The universe was just imposed. Okay, on the other hand, but brit Sinai is conditional on our behavior. We have to accept it there. So that's why the psukim of Samad is saying is different. That the first half, the Brit, is Yiskor L'Amrito. Hashem will always remember his Brit of the physical world. No matter how we behave, how human beings decide to behave, it's not dependent on our behavior. That's all humanity. But for the Shalach L'Amo, the Amo side of it, it's Tziva L'Amrito. It is commanded. It is dependent on commandments, on us doing that, on obeying, that the Brit is conditional. It is, in fact, a two-sided covenant. I think this is fascinating, but I am going to stop here. We'll go to the last section, which is the Kadosh V'Nerah Shemo, Pasuk Kuf Yud Aleph, and we'll continue on from there next time.
Thanks, Dan.
Any questions or comments?
Shkoach.
And
Chodesh Tov.
Chodesh Tov.
Chodesh Tov. It's Cheshvan. Okay, we got through Tishrei.
Although Jack told me today is the 30th day of Tishrei.
That is correct.
Think of it that way.
Right. It is right. It is not really Cheshvan yet. But.
Not yet.
Okay, let's stop.
Okay, thank you very much.